Then the police and the social workers, which are the real Dutch people, said, "Is Ruth crazy? This is not right." But I think, no, I don't want to have sex, or I don't want to marry that man, or I don't want my girl to marry this man, because my tribe in Ghana doesn't love them. We don't respect them. They are from descendants of slaves.
Yeah.
They don't have properties.
Yeah.
So I have my own traditional reason.
Mm-hmm. And honor also to protect.
Yeah. So if the Dutch government says, "I want to include Ruth and the family," mm-hmm, from all their differences, then they are thinking, oh, the way Ruth is thinking is not right. And Ruth is also thinking, this is what is the right thing we do in Africa. Mm-hmm. It's the best. So that is where then they will say it's violence. It's not violence. We are talking about the respect for each other. Look, there are sometimes some people, family quarrel. And then when they quarrel, then suddenly say, "We are going to make DNA for our children to see if this baby is really mine." And they go and do that DNA. The baby is not for the man. The man is broken. The man is distraught. You see, but let's say in Africa, the man will be very angry.
Yeah.
The family will be very angry because the man spent a lot of money on this baby. The name, these are our surnames.
Yeah.
The name, maybe Janssen, is the name, or that is like, please don't make my Janssen name dirty, or don't make my body name, like, bring it down. We have properties. We are slave owners. Yeah. We are big.
Yeah.
And then you bring children to our family, and most of them are not even our blood, DNA. Yeah.
Wow.
So, it coming to steal from us. What is it?
Yeah.
So the Dutch government, in the Dutch government system, they look, well, the children are part of the society.
Yeah,
the children are for the world.
Yeah.
So let them marry, let them dance the dance that they want to dance. Marry who they want.
Yeah.
Don't touch them. Don't beat them.
Yeah.
But Africa will beat you. We will sit here. We'll lock you up till you. So the Dutch has to educate us. That is, they have to educate us. Oh, please. You know, you're like, you have to pamper us to change our minds.
So, Dr. Anderson, you see the angle, the perception, the way, the two,
of course, let's just see the angle. In the Netherlands, according to all laws, we don't accept certain forms of violence.
Yes.
And I think it is terribly important to also understand where communities are coming from. Mm-hmm. That is why I also attend your show. I'm really interested to get your angle and to understand these issues. And I'm not about banning culture or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm also a police officer. You want to also defend the rights of children their integrity.
Hmm.
And you want to defend them. And to one way or the other, you want to be helpful in helping communities addressing these issues. Huh? Yeah. I think it needs also a lot of talk within your communities in order to discuss the way you educate and you raise your youngsters.
Yeah,
and that is not something that the Dutch police is going to decide. As of now, people with an African background will have to educate their children in a certain manner. Of course not. It doesn't work that way. But we make the plans where violence is involved. And in our community, that's not acceptable. We will defend the rule of law. But we are also here to listen to communities. Right now, I'm also here to tell the people, when you are suffering from troubles in your family, don't feel ashamed. You're not the only one. Come forward and let us try to find a solution. That is so important.
Okay, I think...
If I may come in here, you see, there was a time in the church here in Amsterdam. The church elders were really worried because the youth, like 17, 20, a lot of them were going to juvenile detentions, to prison.
Yeah.
Because, when you want to correct them, then they say, "No, I'll call police or I'll call the social worker." You cannot control them. And then now, then they become a bigger problem because we are from different background, and we came, we just try to clean and work hard to to educate our children. And then they, at school, their teachers are telling them, in our system, this is how it goes. And then when it comes to the house, and the mom and the dad are saying something, so, you are from Africa, you don't know anything. This is, yeah, Europe, we have new style, you know? And then they become stubborn. They are, even some of them, they take them from their parents and give them to foster parents.
Right.
And at the end, they break their family, and some of the youth, they go to prison. And then their mothers are crying in the church. They have to go and visit their sons in prison, and they are really brokenhearted. So it needs a lot of, that is why education and orientation for us to change our minds. And then we work together, the parents, the law enforcement come together. You know, in a marriage where there are two voices,
yeah,
the papa is saying something and the mama is saying something, it doesn't help the children. So now when we come from Africa and we are here with our Dutch family, the Dutch police and the system, they become part of our family.
Right.
So I will say the Dutch family, which is the police, the social workers, youth specialists and professors, you have to work with us, the parents rather.
Yeah.
And then we can all put our children in line. Because these children, when they go to Africa, they love to go to Africa. They love African food. And then they come here. So they are a little bit confused. So if the Dutch say, no, don't do what your mother is saying. If they do something they don't like, call us. You know?
Yeah.
And then they come home and say, no, if you do what the Dutch government is telling you, you will not finish your school. You will not get a good job. I'm cleaning the floor as a cleaner. You will not get a good job. Because you steal something in the shop, you cannot work in Schiphol, they will not give you a good job. And then the boy or the girl is confused.
Hmm.
So the only thing is, it's good we are doing this program, but the important thing is we want the Dutch police, the government, the professors, the social workers to work together with the parents and the church community to train this. And then we can eliminate the violence, because it's not violence. It's honor-based violence.
Yes.
We want to keep our integrity.
So we
become violent because the children or our girl or our son is not behaving well.
Okay.
So I think you're addressing two important points. In general, we're not talking here about criminal families. Not at all.
No.
I encounter a lot of families who are worried enormously about raising their children.
And
it doesn't matter from what culture you're from. Raising children, it is the most responsible chore in life, and it's the most difficult. And it doesn't matter where your roots are, where you come from. That is a huge responsibility, and that is a hell of a job.
Yes.
And that is complex, especially in the process of migration. What I really liked hearing is that I think we should collaborate. We should work together.
Yes.
Yeah. In order to receive better understanding of each other's issues.
Precisely.
And also help dealing with these educational issues.
Yes, absolutely. And what I'm getting from all of this so far is that what we are looking at today as honor-based violence and crime and those things, whatever. Has an honor attached to it in the family, I think it will never go away. People will try to protect that, the honor of their families. But I guess what we are trying to make sure doesn't happen is the violence which results from this, trying to protect the family name or the family legacy. The violence which comes out of these issues that are what we are trying to deal with. But as for the reason and the cause we have to protect our family name or legacy, that I doubt if it will ever go away. It will still be there, because everybody wants something good for their children or their family, and so they want to keep the good within and keep the bad out.
Wise words.
Yes. So let's talk about, by the way, kudos to ladies. You ladies, you've done awesome. Okay, awesome. Let's talk about, let's say, the effect, some of the common effect on victims when they have been exposed to honor-based violence, what would be some of the common effects on them? People who have become victims of honor-based violence, you know, for one reason or the other. Can we talk about that? What is the impact on them?
But they are not only suffering from the consequences of violent behavior,
yeah,
but they also feel very isolated. Like I already said, there might be some trouble within the family.
Yes.
But I've seen across cultures that the solidarity between children and their parents, that is something very unique.
Yeah.
And victims are often suffering because they're also missing their family.
Yeah. Right,
and,
right.
And that is one of the most impressive effects of this form of violence. The loneliness.
Yeah. Loneliness.
Yeah, so talking about the isolation. Isolation is also a part of punishment.
Yeah.
And then you get depressed.
Yeah.
Good. Then you get lonely and you feel worthless.
Yes.
So it's also a violence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now we come back to the whole thing. It was about honor base. You see, we are now living in a very liberal society when the Bible norms, our moral norms, our traditional norms, they say put it away and just be free. Dress the way you want. You can wear a very short skirt. You can show your boobs. You can make, you know, everything. But some people will say, no, you have to cover your legs.
Yeah, yeah.
For instance, in the African family, when you are not married, mm-hmm, you can show your legs.
Yes.
But when you are married, you don't show your legs. So the way you put your clothes, if you tell somebody, oh, she's married.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So if European society or European police or Dutch police is looking at us, let's say me now, I will fight for honor-based violence or honor-based abuse. Because I would say, you do this, you sit here and you do what I want.
Mm.
My brothers will say, you do what we want. We will not let you go out and spoil the name. So, but we don't look at it as violence. We look at it like we are protecting the boundary.
Yeah.
We are putting boundaries in place,
yeah,
for you to react morally,
yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
So me, as I hold in my head, when I'm not educated too much, I'll say, oh, no, it's not violence. It's just the law. You have to
conform.
I go to a shop, yeah, and I want to steal a bit more lipstick.
Yeah.
It's not allowed.
Yes.
So the police take me and put me in jail and let me clean the streets,
yeah,
for a week. You see, so that also, then I'll say, this is violent. They are treating me without respect. They are not treating me well. I didn't behave well.
Yes.
So this is where I would say, this honor-based violence, honor-based abuse, mm-hmm, honor-based marriage, it is not a problem, but the way we have to handle it together so that everybody doesn't steal in the shop, everybody doesn't make babies and then give it to, get pregnant and then give it to a richer boy, or they are on the street and the baby say, tell the mother, don't talk to me like that. The baby is telling the mother to shut up, which is not right. It's so complex. So I will not say it's moral-based abuse, honor, respect. So the whole community, the law enforcement, everything is very easy because everyone is doing the right thing. And for instance, in Africa, they say the children are trained by the village. When you are on the street, you don't throw stones into somebody's house,
yeah,
in the village. When you do that, somebody on the street will just beat you up. What about if that stone hits somebody's eyes in the house?
Yeah.
You are just being naughty. So me, I can say, it's honor, it's respect, it's enforcing the laws. And if the person doesn't follow the law, we punish the person. That is how the whole thing is. But if the Dutch government finds a lot of diversity, like a lot of cultures coming together, and it doesn't conform with their laws, then they have to educate us, the older ones.
A better way to,
deal with that our children are going out of our lane.
Yeah. So the, in terms of the effects on the victim, we spoke about the isolation and depression. And all. So these are more correctional. But do these actually succeed in getting the victims back in line the way the family wants, Dr. Jensen?
Well, I often see that happen, that I remember a case where a young girl fled to a shelter because her family wasn't accepting her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then she left the shelter because she said, I love my boyfriend, but I love my family way more.
Yeah.
I can't continue living without my family. And then she went back.
Go ahead.
This isolation punishment works.
Yeah.
This depression, you don't come to our parties, you don't come to our wedding, we don't want to see you. You see, don't come and listen to our music. And then they isolate you, and then you feel lonely. It's also a type of punishment. And then you come back. So that's why Jenny said that it works to keep people in line.
But then,
well, it works. It's also heartbreaking. I also see people breaking down mentally, they are damaged, they are traumatized. We're talking about very young people often, and for me, it's difficult to see. And on the one hand, it would be wonderful if people were able to make their own choices. I understand that they are going back. I can only hope that they will find happiness and peace. But I don't know what happened afterwards to this young woman. So I wish her all the best, but I hope it worked out well. I just don't know what happened. So I have mixed feelings about that.
Yes. Definitely. The family bond will definitely be stronger than any other thing. In most cases,
I think. Blood is thicker than water.
Yeah, precisely as they say. So. Some people will just endure all the abuse and the whatever just to be connected to the family. Now, if, let's say, from a legal point of view, we want to make a big case out of it, who will be the loser? Is it the law enforcement or the family? Because the law enforcement is looking at the harm or the violence as the target, but the family will look at it as a correctional tool to bring the person back in line. So do we draw the line?
Of course, when you try to murder people, completely unacceptable.
Forms of
physical violence are unacceptable. Yeah. And now there's the Dutch society, we have an important discussion where we understand that violence isn't only physical violence. Yeah. There are also emotional, mental violence that have a tremendous influence on victims. And that is also where it becomes a little bit difficult, because Mr. Boney already mentioned that the isolation, that works. Well, yes, to a certain extent, it works in the sense that people return back to their families, but it is also damaging. And law enforcement also nowadays is thinking, what should we do with these cases? Because in the Dutch society, we have now a more broader understanding of what violence is.
Yes.
And this is difficult for us to deal with.
Yes,
because
we
see that people are hurting, that people are suffering. And what should we do, not only as law enforcement, but as a society, in order to help people? And therefore, we also need contact with community. This is something like we're doing now that should be discussed within communities.
Yes.
What's the stake, and to what extent is all this suffering morally allowed?
Yes. But has the Dutch, let's say, the law enforcement, like yourself, gone into a situation whereby you had to meet the family in question and to reason the issues out and maybe to come to terms somewhat? But I think usually because there hasn't been that clear understanding as to why this honor-based violence is taking place. So the law takes its course in a different way. And without actually understanding...
The families, that is one of the most important aspects of the Dutch approach for the police in dealing with these cases.
Okay.
There's a lot of mediation going on.
Okay.
And then you should find common ground, what is acceptable for all parties in order to prevent the use of violence. So you must find common ground. And when we talk to people that say, I feel threatened or there's something terribly going wrong within my family, then we always try to make what we call a kind of a social map of what is going on in the family. What are the different point of views? Who is the most influential? What is at stake? In order to help people, you should understand what is happening within the community.
Yes.
Talking to the people, listening to them, what are they afraid of? What are the debates going on within the community? Well, that is necessary. Otherwise, you can't be of any meaning as law enforcement for these people. You should understand the conflict and what is at stake.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I don't know from your expertise and because that's the area of your area of expertise. Given the way we're talking about it, do you think that these cases are getting? I mean, is it getting better or still the same? Because I'm sure the police.
Years ago, I started working in this field, and a lot of people in the Netherlands said, well. Is this so important? Sounds very exotic, rather to say so. That what was often mentioned. And nowadays, we see this isn't a strange aberration. It occurs very often. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, we have a lot of cases, people that are coming from. Countries all over the world that are battlefields. For example, right now we have a lot of cases from people with a Syrian background.
Yeah.
And we're not only talking about honor, but we see also people that have suffered from war. And the way they traveled to the Netherlands was also very troublesome.
Yes.
Think of human trafficking and stuff like that, all the hardship that refugees encounter while they are traveling to Europe. And what worries me a lot is that I see a lot of suffering in these communities because they have suffered from being in war zones, in very violent areas. So you see a lot also of mentioned issues. And these issues are also related to violence. That is worrying me a lot. And another issue that concerns me heavily is the use of social media.
Yes.
Because when you look at migrant communities, let's say something is happening in the Netherlands, that has to do with the honor of the family.
Yeah.
Well, when you have a smartphone, it is very easy to spread the rumors to the country that you're originally from, to all over the world. And that gives an international dimension to a lot of conflicts. Those are not local conflicts anymore. You're not, let's say, talking about a daughter that behaved in a bad manner in Amsterdam.
Yes.
With a few clicks on your smartphone, you can spread the rumors all over the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
These conflicts are even more dangerous.
Right.
And that is troubling me enormously, because you can't say get rid of your smartphones.
No.
Smartphones have also brought us, and modern communications technology has brought us good stuff. But there are also some risks involved that influences the way we see cases. And I think to a certain extent it has to help increase cases of honor-based violence.
Yes. I can't believe that we've used up our time almost already, and without realizing it, we didn't even give listeners the chance to call. I'm so sorry about that. But just a quick one before we head towards the exit. What forms of honor-based violence and or honor killings do happen here in Europe, in the West specifically. are they as extreme as we know about or hear about? I mean, the ones that we hear of here, like the one you mentioned, the girl who wanted to be with the girlfriend, the boyfriend, but the family didn't want it and all that. You know, is that the only form that we see, relational kind of honor-based violence?
But the most cases that the police encounters have to do with some aspect of sexuality, yes? Okay. Usually to do with sex outside the marriage, non-existent partners, extramarital affairs, children born out of wedlock, wanting to get a divorce. That most cases that we see have to do with those aspects, but it doesn't mean that there might not be other issues at stake. Yeah, like Mrs. Boni already mentioned about owning land, stuff like that.
Yes,
that's
yes.
also possible.
Okay, all right. Finally, we would like to just either of you, both of you actually, you can just tell us how can we help or respond to a victim of honor-based violence. That's more in the domain of Dr. Janssen, I think.
Well, still treat people like human beings, and you might condemn behavior, but don't condemn the human being. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Try to find common ground. Try to find ways for people to re-enter the community. Try to find those issues, because the suffering is very impressive. And it's so hurtful. And keep talking about these issues.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm so sorry we have to just end it here, and I'm so indebted to you ladies. Dr. Janssen, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we can help to reach out to you next time we need you, so please be open.
Okay, love to come back, and thank you very much for the good discussion, also a joint meeting, Mrs. Boni. Thank
you
very much.
It's a pleasure. Mrs. Boni, definitely, I would want you to have her in mind in case you have a discussion somewhere, you think you need her input, I think I would love to send her over to you.
Love to talk to her. Thank you very much.
It's an honor to meet you. It's an honor.
Yes.
What is important is we need education, looking at the broad issues, so that everybody will have self-esteem and keep the law, that we have peace of mind and a thriving society.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much. I want to wish you a lovely day. Enjoy the rest of your day. And listeners, well, time is up. I'm sure you enjoyed every bit of it. Sorry we couldn't.
Do you want some more reggae music? Do you know that I don't believe?
Okay, so that was it. I want to wish you a good day. Thank you so much for your company. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.
What's a Liban Bamba, yeah? 22-7. man of a field.